This is the Oanda Podcast.
This is the Oanda Market Insights Podcast, talking to Oanda senior market analysts across the world. And today I'm delighted to say we're joined by Ed Moyer in New York. Good afternoon from London, Ed. How are you doing?
Hey, Johnny.
Let's start with those surprise figures earlier in the week for US GDP in the first quarter. This perplexed many who saw this data when it came out.
Very much so. I think there was only maybe one or two analysts that were really saying we could have a negative print. They're looking like geniuses this week. And overall, I think there was a strong consensus that we were still going to see the economy was supposed to perform pretty well. And the headline miss, a negative 1.4 reading really took a lot of traders by surprise. But immediately after that, everyone, you got to dig into the details. And you could still see, though, that, well, personal consumption was still pretty strong. And I think what you're noticing is that the reason for the big miss is because the demand for imports was so high and exports were struggling that you had some imbalances there. And on top of that, supply disruptions continued to weigh on the economy. But when everyone wants to look forward, and I think there's, a tremendous amount of optimism that consumers and businesses are going to continue to spend. And this was a complicated quarter. You had a little bit of Omicron impact. You had runaway inflation fears, and there was just a lot of geopolitics. And I think what you're probably going to see is that investors are very optimistic that this report doesn't change anything for the Fed. I think that you'll probably see that we had a bigger reaction this morning to the employment cost index. I think that one of the key things that the Fed is focused on is wages, and Fed Chair Powell noted that, and that's what really kind of I think helped throw a couple extra logs in that bond market sell-off, and you're probably going to see that these wage pressures are not easing. So this is going to boost the argument that the Fed is going to have to remain rather aggressive. I think the base case is still that you're going to have a couple half point rate hike increases by the Fed. The argument could be made that it might be a few. So that would mean aggressive tightening at the May meeting next week, at the June meeting, and also the July one. And that is something that will eventually lead to concerns that if the Fed has to remain, delivering these, massive rate increases, that could ultimately send the economy to a recession. I think the base case is still that they're going to deliver a soft landing, but you have to wonder, the Fed has two mandates, and before they really kind of during the pandemic it was just all about the labor market. I think there was probably several podcasts where we just kind of shrugged off the inflation numbers and just focused on, how are we getting back these jobs lost throughout COVID? Well, is the Fed going to remain fixated at the primary, problem at hand? And right now it's inflation. So if we start to see some signs of labor market weakness, will that change their tune? I think the expectations are that it probably will. But if they kind of stick to the script that they focus on the primary problem at hand, you can make the argument that no, the Fed could very well send this economy into a short recession, and that would help save their credibility, because they really put it at risk by waiting so late to tackle inflation. So I think each month we're getting important. Each month we're getting these incremental updates where we're hoping to see the peak of inflation show itself. But right now, there's no real strong signs that that's happening.
The Biden administration will want to avoid at all costs a mini recession ahead of those midterms later in the year. And looking at these figures, it might just be an outlier, this drop in the first quarter of GDP. But surely they wouldn't add insult to injury with more than, say, 250 basis points increases over the next two occasions.
I think for right now, you know, going into this week, the expectations were that, you know, the Fed has probably got 250 basis point in rate increases before we get to neutral. And right now, if we take a look at all the inflation data, inflation expectations, it looks like they're going to have to go a lot higher than that. And I think I think the Fed is kind of counting on is that you're going to see over these next several months that there will be some demand destruction. I think you know, right now corporate and household balance sheets are still looking pretty good. That won't last. And if you take a look at some of the recent volatility we've seen in the stock market, there are signs that some companies are going to continue to struggle in this current rate environment. And more importantly, I think that the market has really been so used to this recent wave of monetary and fiscal support. And I think that, you know, the withdrawal that we're going to get is going to be rather severe across some sectors. And right now, there are some signs that some companies are going to go into trying to save money. And that likely means job cuts. You know, Robinhood was one. Elon Musk talking about, you know, reduction of positions at Twitter. I think that you're going to start to see that this is these surging price costs are really, you know, impacting margins. And I think that you know, we were so focused on this labor shortage that, but now I think companies are quickly evolving. So I think that you know, we could really see this labor market cool pretty, I think, rather soon. That could support the argument that, you know, the Fed could deliver the soft landing, because that would help bring down prices. So we're, you know, I think that the one thing is that everyone can agree upon is expectations on Fed policy are going to dramatically shift over these next few months. And I think there's no strong consensus. There's still too many variables, the war in Ukraine. I think that China and their COVID situation and their zero COVID policy. And I mean, we could see how that is impacting a lot of big tech. So there's too many question marks. And that's why I think we're still dealing with a market that's very jittery.
And the market has been jittery. And you mentioned companies not doing quite as well. And let's talk about some of those big companies, some of the biggest in the world, if not the biggest, the big earners: Apple, Amazon, Google, Meta, and so on. They've all announced their earnings over the last few days, and most have disappointed.
Very much so. This earnings season was, I think, the one that we really got a big wake up call. you know, no one is immune to inflation. let's start off with Apple. I think for Apple, you know, they were seeing tremendous, they had tremendous momentum going into the new year, and now, you know, they just have too many negative headwinds, and I think that what's really kind of taking a big hit to share prices is that the COVID shutdowns across China and the chip shortages right now, Apple is forecasting that could impact revenue in the third quarter by $4 to $8 billion. That's a very significant piece of the pie there. And I think what you're also seeing is that if the consumer is starting to show some signs of weakness, remember, Apple has is it's a high-end smartphone. I think that you could start to see that could really weigh on how people go about with their upgrade cycles. And I think, you know, we were supposed to be in a super cycle here for upgrading iPhones to 5G, and there's been some lost momentum with that. I think a lot of people still working from home, you don't really need a super fast network when you're out and about. But I think you're probably going to see that you know, the pressure is going to be on to provide value to shareholders. Apple, you know, authorized a $90 billion share buyback program. You know, and overall, you know, the earnings, yeah, they did beat by 10 cents. Revenue did come in a few billion higher, but there's a lot of question marks, and I think that you know, given what's happening in the bond market and borrowing costs and some of the concerns, that's really trickling down to I think a lot of the expenses that Apple is dealing with. And I think, you know, as wages continue to skyrocket, you know, that's a big cost burden for a lot of these tech giants. So that's why Apple is struggling. Long term, I think you still, you know, have to be you know, optimistic. I think they have their hand in too much of the part of tech that is still likely to still deliver substantial growth. So I think you know, a lot of traders, they'll say, you know, it could get uglier as the Fed starts to hike. So you know, it's at 160, maybe they don't want to buy it until 150 or so. Or but right now Apple is under pressure, but you'll probably see that I think it will be still a company that many will anticipate we'll be able to get through these China COVID lockdowns, these surging price costs across several commodities that are being impacted by the war in Ukraine and for several other reasons. So there's still good reason to be optimistic about Apple. Amazon, on the other hand, is they had a tough. This was, I think, right now as far as some of the favorites, you know. Mega cap tech stocks, and I think you have to remove Facebook and Netflix from that list. And we could say it's now really Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, and Google. You know, Amazon is really struggling. They have rising fuel costs. They have, you know, labor expenses. They have, you know, there's softness in consumer demand, which was the key reason why I think a lot of traders were like concerned. You know, to have the CFO flat out say that, the CEO was kind of trying to defend that. He was saying that there wasn't much, but I think when you take a look at how things have been going, I think there's, you know, Amazon has invested a lot of money to ramp up and to deliver, and you know, a lot of those costs, it's not like they can easily just automate them or scale them down. So I think that because of all the investment they've made, it's really impacting their margins, and that's what I think will really weigh on their consumer demand. So I think they have an uphill battle here. You know, their shares, you know, it was a disappointing quarter for them, and they expect a loss in the second quarter. Revenue came in as expected, but I mean, the outlook for expenses is still rising. And I think, you know, the consumer is what they care about right now. And if the consumer, is battling widespread inflation over these next couple of quarters, that's definitely going to weigh on Amazon.
We've also seen earnings, Ed, in the big oil giants Chevron and Exxon down as well. They're taking a bit of a hit, aren't they, from the situation in Eastern Europe and the demand destruction that you pointed to a little bit earlier on. And as you predicted, Ed, on this podcast and in a number of other different platforms. Oil prices are not going down. So well done to you there.
Thank you. It wasn't hard when you simple supply and demand. You take a look at the amount of investment these companies have done in new wells, and if you take a look at where the geopolitical risks with Russia, cutting off supplies to Poland and Bulgaria for gas, that is, and I think that eventually you're going to see that that could be a bigger reduction of energy supplies from Russia that includes crude in the near future. You're going to see that oil is going to have a strong potential upside here, and investors are going to be very hesitant to go short. But I think what you have to remember, these energy companies, like Chevron, their break even on their break even price for oil is $40. Last we checked, it's WTI is well above 106. So that looks pretty good for them. And I think that the 3-year outlook for oil is still for, it varies between analysts, but I think you could say 80. Some of the more pessimistic ones for oil would say maybe 60s. That's still great if your break even's 40. And when you consider that they are not matching the amount that was done a decade in new wells. So they are, they're roughly putting in half of the CapEx into new wells that they were doing a decade ago. The world thought we were going to be able to have a much smoother and faster transition to clean energy. That's not the case. So these energy giants are going to just clean house. Exxon, is also a, I think if you had to rate them, Chevron number one, Exxon probably number two in the U.S. for energy companies. They took a big charge due to their Russian operation, but they still, have a strong handle here, and I think there's a for a lot of one of the reasons why I think Exxon was down too is they they're planning to raise wages I think 3%. These energy giants they know that they can incrementally increase production, and there was some demand uncertainty over these last several weeks, but I think this is they're on cruise control right now. They got positive momentum going to the second quarter. I think that you still have robust demand, and I think once China gets out of these COVID lockdowns, you'll see a strong pickup in demand, and so these energy stocks, they're becoming a favorite for many investors. Like right now it's like run away from tech, and people are just piling into energy and some more maybe like defensive plays, maybe going to materials or industrials. So very fascinating to see the way this has evolved. But I think that there's a lot of optimism that you're going to see investors become still fairly bullish here on these energy companies, because their outlook, they have expenses under control, great margins, probably the best on the street, and I think free cash flow is something that is allowing them to do dividends and buybacks. Their Exxon boosted their buyback by up to $30 billion through 2023. So these energy companies are delivering value to shareholders. So that's why I think you're going to see them just remain front and center, a focal point for many traders.
Okay, Ed, very interesting to hear your view on that. What about the next week or so? What is the outstanding moment for you coming up, and what else should we look out for?
Obviously we have a close eye on potential Russian escalation against the West. I think you know, the war in Ukraine remains, I think, a primary focal point for many traders. Over the weekend, you know, China has their official PMI releases. Expected, you know, no surprise, it's expected to weaken. These COVID lockdowns are really proving troublesome, and they will test the public's patience here. And I think that you know, it seems hard to imagine, but that, you know, President Xi, if he keeps this up, you could really see things turn for him. But I think still the base case is that won't happen. Yeah, Chinese data over the weekend, important to focus on. ISM manufacturing on Monday for the U.S. is a favorite of mine. You know, we did not talk crypto today. I just did not have enough time to squeeze it in. But Coinbase CEO Armstrong will speak at the Milken conference. That's a fun one on Monday. And obviously, we get the PMIs from Europe Tuesday. Apologies, that might, depending on where you're in the world, it might be a different time for you. But Tuesday, we have the RBA rate decision. They're expected to raise rates 15 basis points. Wednesday, the Fed, half point, they're going to increase. They're going to also announce a start date on when they're going to reduce that balance sheet. It should be fairly imminent. I think Thursday, a lot of our traders will play a close eye on the BOE rate decision. They're expected to raise rates by 25 basis points. It's busy Thursday. You also have Norway. No change expected there. Poland's an interesting meeting. They could raise by 75 or 100 basis points. There's a lot of differing expectations on that one. Also, too, we have an OPEC Plus regular meeting. So that's always, you know, will move oil prices. And Friday, it's not often we get a Fed rate decision and a non-farm payroll, but also Friday, non-farm payrolls, softer job growth. 390,000 jobs expected to have been created in April. That would be down from 431. German industrial production also on, excuse me, on Friday as well. So a lot, a very, very busy week for next week.
Busy week indeed, Ed. We'll have a very good weekend and we'll speak to you again very soon.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
This is the Oanda Podcast.